If you have your Bibles today, would you open those to 1 John chapter 4? 1 John chapter 4, if you're kind of joining us, we're walking through a letter that John wrote to the church, and we're just walking through it verse by verse. Today we've got six verses, but as you're getting there, a couple of months ago, me and my wife Callie were sitting on our back porch as the sun was scorching our skulls. We're just sitting there, it's burning hot, and we just kind of said, hey, wouldn't it be great if we had one of those cool pop-up chairs with the canopy over it, and that would just kind of be more comfortable sitting out here. And yes, what a great idea. We love it and thought about that. Didn't do anything beyond that. Just thought that would be a great idea. Well, if you have any idea how AI works, artificial intelligence works, no joke, next morning I woke up and upon my Instagram feed was what? Pop-up chairs with canopies. I mean, just flooded my feed. I'm like, yes, I must have you. That was kind of my response. When I'm looking at that, so I see it. It's perfect. It looks awesome. I click on it. I buy it. I bought the chairs, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get some points with Callie on this. I've just bought her a cool chair, and this is awesome. It's going to come, and I'm excited about it. Well, the next morning, she woke up, was checking our online bank statement, and she said, hey, did you order something from Zinzin Trading Company in China? And I said, I think that might be the chair that I ordered. She said, well, where did you order that from? I said, it was an Instagram ad. She said, you know there's a fake, right? What did you do, Pop? Give them your social security number too? I mean, like, did you just let it all, give them all, date of birth, social, did you just give it all to them? I'm like, no, honey, I swear, listen, this is legit. It was the real deal. I looked at it, clicked on it, and there was even like a little PayPal icon at the bottom. I gave him my debit card. This is good. We're getting these chairs, babe. Aren't you glad I did that for you? All right, we'll just see, RC. We'll see if that was truly safe, right? 2 days later, I get an email from Zinzin Trading Company, and they want me to click on the link for further information, all right? So I'm a little skeptical. Thankfully, I didn't click on that link. I just wanted my chairs, all right? I've got great hope that my chairs are coming. Callie, of course, is a skeptic. She says you're never going to get it. A month goes by, nothing from Zinzin. I mean, it's not there. I don't have my chairs. I'm losing a little hope, but I haven't lost all hope yet. And then a package comes to the house, and it's there, and I'm looking at it. It's the chairs, baby. I open that thing up, and inside the package was two bags for chairs, but still no chairs. I mean, Zinzin, what's up? And I'm sitting there and nothing comes. I have been duped. Callie says, I told you so. And I'm like, yes, honey, you were, I meant those words that husbands do. You were right, honey. It was a complete scam. All right. I say that because we know it's very easy today. There are many people out there praying and using financial scams to scam people out of a lot of money online. They're just out there. And I would love, of course, like you would lay hands on them in the name of Jesus for what they do. But these financial scams, they're so dangerous and so prevalent because they cost people a lot of money, right? But the Bible talks about something that's called spiritual scams that are more dangerous because they cost people souls. And one of the reasons, if you've been walking with this letter to us, John wrote this letter, according to chapter 5, verse 13, so that we would be confident in our salvation. That's his purpose. So anything that disturbs that purpose, John is a little sensitive about. Well, what was going on in the church of John's day and the background of him writing this letter is that false teaching, toxic teaching had infected from within the church, and it was causing the people to be confused in their salvation. They were doubting. So John, obviously wanting to protect his flock, he does today in verses 1-6, he does today the unthinkable in today's society. In our hyper-tolerant, non-critical, you can't judge me, and if you disagree with me, you don't love me kind of culture. He does the unthinkable, and he calls out false teachers. He's going to blast them, basically. Well, he doesn't just call them out. For the Christian, he comes along, and he equips us, and he says, hey, I want to give you a test to show you how you can spot the false teacher. And then I want you to know that although the false teachers may be here and they may be prevalent in our culture, they will never overcome you. And he gives this washing over of a comfort of the Holy Spirit inside of us, and that we have the Word of God as a compass to detect and expose false teaching. So he's going to basically tell us to take these teachers to the test by giving them the Spirit test. All right, so let me pray, and then we'll see what John has for us today. Gracious Father, as we've sang earlier, we start our worship through teaching with a posture of more of you and less of me. Now that's a posture that you can mold. That's something you can work with. I pray that we would resist the temptation to think of self, and that you would increase our desire to think more of you today in this text. God, our teachers, these warnings, we hear these things today. They are prevalent in our culture. But would you teach us today how we can be better stewards of your word and be more discerning in this world? And then God, would you eliminate doubt and confusion in this church and in our hearts for your glory? In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, so let's go. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We're just going to cover 6 today. So today, as I said, 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 3. Here we go. Beloved, so he's speaking specifically to verified believers, the true church. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Here's how. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. All right, so notice something here in this text. John mentions the fact that there is a lowercase spirit and an uppercase spirit. He's dividing a difference here. There is one capital S spirit, the Holy Spirit, but then there is this lowercase little false spirits, which are teachers from the Antichrist. They are teachers in this world from God, and they are teachers who are from Satan. There are teachers of truth, and there are teachers who lie. That is what John is saying here. There is a division, and we have to be people who would acknowledge this out of the gate, that there are false teachers in our world. They're everywhere. Now, I think what John wants us to know here is that we cannot believe every single thing that a popular pastor or any pastor, regardless of the size of their church, we cannot believe everything that they say. We can't be gullible. We can't be not discerning when it comes to hearing teaching. Now, John is going to tell us, how do we know who is and who is not? He's going to tell us to test these teachers, to put all teachers to the test. But I want to pause right here before we really get into the text and John tells us how to do that. What his point is this: you and me have to have a false teacher category. We have to know and acknowledge that there are false teachers. Now, once again, that may not feel comfortable to some of you. But as I said, we're in a hyper-tolerant culture. Don't call me out. Don't judge me. Love everybody. If you disagree with me, you don't love me kind of culture. I don't want to do that. It's just, I want to just believe the best of people. I want to be, my fear is that some of you are gullible and you're very naive when it comes to hearing the things of God. And if a pastor says Jesus, or if it has a Christian veneer on it, you automatically believe. Some of you might be like, I don't want to play that. That's just not good. God is love. Yes, God is love. God loves truth and he hates lies. And if you are one of his, you love truth and you also hate lies. So we just simply cannot play that. We can't say, I'm just gonna check out of that. Doesn't feel really good. He wants us to be discerning disciples, to have a healthy skepticism about every single teacher who claims to come in the name of God. Now, that's not an unhealthy skepticism. There's a way to do that in a wrong way too, right? Where someone disagrees with you on a second tier issue and you're automatically trying to call them a false teacher. Oh, you believe in hymns and contemporary and pews and chairs? False teacher. No, that's not what we're doing here, right? He's not talking about an unhealthy skepticism, but a healthy skepticism that we have to first, we can't go any further today in this text if you will not acknowledge that you have to have a false teacher category. You have to. The word says it very clearly. So now, I'm hoping you're with me. Let's move on because John says that we have to put them to the test so we can see who is the spirit of truth and who is the spirit of error. Now, what he does here, if you'll look according to the text here, he gives us the very first test, the very first way that we can discern who the teacher is. And he says that every teacher, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every teacher that denies Christ is not from God. So that's the very first test we see here is that if they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he is from God. But if he denies that, he is not from God. Now, the reason John picks that specific test first is because that's what was happening in the church in John's day. There were two groups of false teachers that infected the church, the Gnostics and the Docetists. And what they taught was a teaching of obviously Gnosticism or Doceticism. But the gist of their teaching, why it was considered false, is because they were teaching that there was another way to salvation, another way to God apart from Christ. That you could actually obtain a secret knowledge and you could get to God's salvation. So they denied that Jesus was the only way. But what they also did was they denied the humanity of Jesus. They believed and were teaching the people in the church that he was nothing more than a mere spirit, that he did not have flesh. He was more of a phantom, all right? And here is why this is so very dangerous. Because if Jesus Christ was not fully God, then he would have never been perfect. He'd have been sinful like me and you. He would have never been able to resurrect from the dead. If Jesus was not fully man, then he would have not been able to stand in as a substitute for you and me. If he doesn't have a physical body, he could not die a physical death. And if he did not die a physical death to atone for our sins, then the penalty on me and you remains to this very day. Human sin was accomplished, the forgiveness of it, through a human body, which is in Jesus Christ. This is the fundamental, not exhaustive symptom of a false teaching, but it's the very first baseline of a false teacher for you and me. If you hear anyone deny the humanity of Jesus, the deity of Jesus, fully God, fully man, or anyone else teaches that there are multiple ways to God or another way to God apart from Jesus Christ, listen no more. Just stop right there. Have you ever gone to the refrigerator and you, like, let's say you just made some cookies, some chocolate chip cookies. Let me put you there for a second. You're like, you know what good with these cookies is a big old glass of milk. You go to the refrigerator, you pour this nice tall cup of milk and you go to drink the milk and the first taste of it, sour. You know it. It's rotten from the get-go. You know what you probably don't do? Finish off the rest of the gallon to see if the rest is good, right? I don't know if this whole thing's rotten. Let me just drink it all and I'll tell. No, you don't do that, right? That's John's point here. If they're wrong here, if they're rotten when it comes to the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ, listen no more. They are not from God. This is the very first test that we see. Now, I want to show you something in verse 3. These teachers are not just guilty of theological error. They didn't just misspeak. These aren't just good guys who got it wrong. That's not what's happening here. Verse 3 tells us that these teachers, these false teachers, are sent as missionaries from the Antichrist. These are Satan's disciples that have come into the world. They have been sent into the world on Satan's great commission for the sole purpose of distorting the truth of God's word, to take his church and his people, to confuse them, to derail them, to enslave us to these lies. This is very, very intentional. This is not accidental in any way, shape, or form. And the dangerous thing about this, I think the most dangerous thing is they come from within the church. Historically, we've always seen that to be the case. That the most dangerous things that have happened to the church, the worst things in the church, have come from those wolves disguised and clothed as pastors and theologians and authors. They have come from within the church. Mark 13, 22. For false teachers or false Christ and false prophets, they will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Therein will correspond to their deeds. It can't catch us off guard, right? If that's what Satan does, disguises himself as a deceiver, man, that's exactly what his teachers are going to do. And in New Testament church, we've seen it here, the evidence, church history proves that. And even today, I think it's probably more prevalent today because of the accessibility to false teaching. Like back here in John's day, they heard by word of mouth false teaching. They didn't have the internet, all right? We have the internet. We have a plethora of false teaching and false teachers at our fingertips at any moment. It's everywhere we breathe. It's everywhere. Now, the danger is, I think, as I said, it's so sneaky. It doesn't come very clear. Like it's a deceptive thing that makes it very difficult for us to detect. You know, in the movies, when you have this hero-villain theme of many movies, it's very easy to tell the good guys from the bad guys. You know what I mean? Like Commodus and Maximus. That's an easy one to see that one. You know, great movie, Gladiator. We see the Sith and the Jedi. We can see that one. We see, Gryffindor and Slytherin. Like, it's easy to tell which is the bad guys in that deal, right? Vols, Bama. We see the differences in good, and we use that one here. It's very easy to detect the good guys from the bad guys in many times. But sadly enough, in the church, it is not so. It is a lot more sneaky and requires a lot more discernment. That's why it causes such confusion. I'm going to touch on a couple. I'm not going to park here too long. I want to bring up some of those for us. The teaching of Mormonism. Now, let me say this out of the gate. I'm not attacking Mormons today. You might know someone, I know someone. I'm not attacking the heart of a Mormon. What I am going to attack, because the doctrine here in the scripture talks about, is going after the false teacher. Because the false teacher is leading people astray and costing people souls. This is a fundamental false teaching. Why it's so sneaky is because if you know possibly a Mormon teacher in some way, they are so nice. They are so polite on your doorstep. I mean, they're friendly. These are family people, polite, peaceful, loving. That's kind of how they feel. There's no way this could be wrong. I'm not talking about Mormons again. I'm going to say that again. I'm talking about the teachers of Mormonism. Even the young missionaries will teach and go around teaching, we believe in the same Jesus that you do. On the surface, that's what it is. But when you dive a little bit deeper, you will find out that it is not the same Jesus. They have their own Bible, the Book of Mormon. The Bible teaches that Jesus is God, Let's just say that first. We've already talked about that principle there. But the Mormons do not believe that. They believe that Jesus was born from a sexual relationship between God and Mary and was a man who became a God. He worked himself to God status and then goes on to teach that if you work really hard as a Christian, you can be a God too. The basis of their entire faith, the genesis of the Mormons was based upon a man named Joseph Smith, who was a self-proclaimed prophet from God. So they made a book out of him. He is as authoritative as God himself in the scriptures. That's checkmate for me. I don't know about it is for you. But this is a dangerous, dangerous false teaching. The Jehovah's Witnesses, like the Mormons, they have their own Bible. They believe in three gods, not one God. This is polytheism. They again deny that Jesus Christ is equal with God. That's why they don't celebrate Easter and Christmas. These are dangerous. I don't have time to expound upon all of those. I'm just simply stating the fact that we have to be very careful because they're very hard to detect. I think there's other ones in our culture that may be more prevalent, more dangerous. The first one I would tell you is the prosperity gospel. The health, the wealth, prosperity, you can call it a lot of different things. And these are the pastors and preachers that will get up and tell you, come to Jesus and you get health, wealth, prosperity. You'll be blessed. Sow a little seed. You'll get a lot from God. It is one of the most destructive heresies that are found in our day. This is the one I think that we breathe more than anything. Now, the differences in typically in their sermons, how you can detect, they're very you-centric. They're not God-centric, not Jesus-centric. They're very you-centric. And many times, it's difficult to tell their sermons apart from a fortune cookie at Tokyo. You have great blessing coming your way. God loves you. You're going to be rewarded for what you do. Great things ahead. Great life coming your way. You are the point. You are beautiful. God wants you to be happy. You only live once. Your truth is really all that matters. This is the gospel according to Satan. And you can smell it, you can breathe it, you can taste it. It's everywhere. Even you turn on your device, it's all over the place. And we have to be people who can discern and spit this false out. And these teachers, it's sneaky. Because they don't come to you and say, hey, let me tell you something. Jesus is actually a woman named Jessie. I mean, that's not what they come out. They don't lead out with that. You can see the heresy coming from a mile away, right? They don't come out like that. It just sounds very much like the truth. And the speakers of the prosperity, typically articulate, very charismatic, great, nice, loving. God, no way. This guy's from the spirit of the Antichrist. No way. Such a good talker. He leads people so well. Look at the size of his congregation. You know how you can develop a large congregation? And a large following, you tell people what they want to hear. They'll come from miles away. Feed the message about them and how they can be happy and wealthy and awesome. They're the point. They're the hero. God wants you to be happy. You preach that message, this church will explode with growth. But we don't do that here. We preach Christ crucified and that Jesus Christ is the hero of the Bible. Now, one of the most popular health and wealth prosperity preachers says that you can have your best life now and says, this is my Bible. It is who I am who he says that I am. And I would say right here, it says that he is a false teacher. If you need more information on that, I will share that with you after on the side. This is dangerous stuff, guys. You might have woken up at 3 in the morning and seeing a guy named Peter Popoff in an infomercial. I don't know if you've seen that one before. German televangelist who wants you to buy some living water to cure all your ails. All right? Peter Popoff. I mean, now that one's not coming into disguise at all. I mean, that guy, he's got these wicked eyebrows that like turn up and they're like doing all this crazy stuff. His name's Popoff. Like, I have to stand before God one day and answer to him how I led you. I pray that he never asked me why so-and-so bought some living water from Popoff. I mean, I really do. Don't fall prey to these kind of things. I mean, it's crazy, but it's very, very dangerous. Benny Hinn for a moment. All right, Benny Hinn, very popular, very trendy prosperity teacher, really, in America. Well, he has a nephew named Costi Hinn, who served faithfully in Benny's ministry for several years. He benefited financially from his uncle's ministry in big, big ways, right? Well, one day, he actually met the God of the universe through the gospel in Jesus Christ, pierced his heart, and his eyes were open. He says, "This is horrible, uncle. We can't continue to do this." And he wrote a book called this, God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel. And he said this, and I quote, "I wrote the book to help people see that the prosperity gospel is damning and abusive. It exploits the poor, ruins the lives of the world's most vulnerable people. It's easily the most abusive false teaching plaguing the church today, and that all its roads from the prosperity gospel paves the way to hell." That's strong. And I believe Costi Hinn when he says that. And I have a homework piece for you this week. I want you to go home and I want you to watch The American Gospel on Netflix. If you've watched it, you're like, it's good. If you have not, do that this week. Man, invite your kids into it. This is not, it's nothing they can't hear. They don't need to hear. They do need to hear it. Watch The American Gospel on Netflix. Homework for next week. You will be you'll be surprised, but you'll also be thankful when you get done. There's a couple other things that can help us determine these false teachings. There's one called the charismatic gospel. It's charismania. And what you'll hear as a false teacher get up and say that they have received a special revelation from God, a very personal and very private revelation from God. And what that really means is there's been an addition to the scripture. Or they've got something you don't have, or something that is not consistent with the scripture. They have received special revelation. Now, I'm not saying that God does not illuminate the illumination of scriptures. He does do that. But anyone who stands up and says they have received a word and it's not in the Bible, then you should have a very, very strong skepticism towards that teacher. That's why Joseph Smith started Mormonism, because he got a special revelation from God. There is only one revelation. It is the word of God. And when he said it was done, it was done. No more prophets are needed. He fulfilled the office. It's over. It's final. Be leery of people who say they get a special revelation. There's a couple other false teachings. The universalism gospel that says that we're just going to tolerate all beliefs, that we all go to the same God, we're all going up the same mountain. You believe what you want to believe, tomato, tomato, it doesn't really matter. We're all going to the same way. That's not right. Jesus said in John 14:6 that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So there's just one way. There is one way, and anyone who tells you otherwise lies. There's a churchless gospel that says your salvation is very personal and very private to you, and church is just optional. Steer away from those teachers. Steer away from someone who tells you that the idea of a gender or sexuality gospel that says you can love Jesus, you can choose your own gender, you can practice sexual immorality, and Jesus is just cool with it. Don't believe that teacher, because it's not from the word of God. It's a lie. It's not the truth, all right? It's not the truth. Now, let me stop here and just breathe for a minute, because there's a lot of dangers. I didn't list them all. They're not exhaustive lists, but just be leery. Do not believe. Do not be gullible of believing everything that you see, all right? Now, what John does now, that he's heightened our attention, now he's going to tell us how we can conquer the false teacher, how we can be comforted in knowing, and then how we can surround ourselves with securities, so to speak, to not be lured astray. And he founds this, we find this in 4-6. Let's read this together. Little children, so now he's kind of fatherly saying, hey, come on. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them. For he who is in you greater is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God and listens to us, whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the first thing here John tells us, in order to not be confused by false, toxic teaching, is to be people that would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all get that one? We are to be people who are filled with the Spirit of God. All right? Now, John's audience, you have to understand, John's audience were exposed to toxic teaching. And John here says, you've overcome them. Like, they're not a threat to you anymore. You have overcome, right? But lest they think that they have been the one who's overcome and kind of take credit for it, John says, no, the reason that you've overcome is because that who is in you, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He's basically saying, once again, he's going back to this idea that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has chosen to dwell inside of you, and you have overcome the world because you are filled with the Spirit of God. Now, when we talk about the Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes that could be a confusing thing, especially in a Baptist church. We'd be cautious there. But I want to explain a couple of things, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, John's not talking about that Christians are empty and that they need to be filled with more Holy Spirit. That's not what he's saying here. In fact, we know, we learned that Jesus Christ, the moment we're born again and saved, that he anoints us with the Holy Spirit. We get the fullness of the Holy Spirit from the beginning of our new birth. So we can't be filled any more than we already are. Now, number two here, being filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean a second baptism. It doesn't mean that if you get baptized twice and you get these special gifts and you can be more filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not what this means. Being filled with the Spirit is not lapping the church, speaking in tongues. We often use the dances of Holy Helicopter, Jewish Jig. Maybe it's the disciples' dubstep, whatever it is. That's not what walking through the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit means. What being filled with the Holy Spirit means is this, that when we hear false teaching, that we yield to the Spirit, listen to the Spirit instead of listening to our flesh. Now, here's what happens. Let me put this on the ground. When we hear false teaching, and as I said, it sounds like a fortune cookie sermon. It sounds good. That guy's really nice. I mean, he's so loving. I have to believe what he's saying. That's you yielding to the flesh, your emotions. He's playing on your emotions on purpose. Right? That's what being filled with the flesh means. And John is saying, no, no, no. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Yield to the Spirit. The Spirit says, that's crap. That's not right. I know that's not right because it doesn't measure up to the Word of God. That's conviction. I can't believe this is all about me. I know what the Word of God says. So that is what being filled with the Spirit and yielding to the Spirit means. When you hear false teaching, listen to the Spirit. Don't listen to the teacher. Does it match up with the Word of God? You know, Paul in Corinthians said that the things of the Word of God are spiritually discerned. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will never be snatched out of the Father's hands. You are victorious over all of these false teachers because that who is in you, he who is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. All right? The second thing is how we can know or how we fight these things in order to not be confused is we need to be filled with the word of God. Filled with the word of God. Where did I get that? Look at what he says here. Whoever knows God, his children, here with him, listens to us. John is saying that if you know God, you listen to the apostles' teaching, which is the Bible. That's how you give evidence of being, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you listen to the Bible. What John's point here is this, that when you hear a false teacher, you hear any teacher, let me back that up, let me pull that back. When you hear any teacher, how do you test to see if it's from God or from someone else? You measure it according to the scripture. You study the truth in order to detect the lies. If you are familiar with the U.S. Department of Treasury and their ability and need to detect counterfeit money, which is, we understand that, what they do to train up their employees to be able to detect the counterfeit, what they do is they study real money. They don't study counterfeits. They look at the real money, the real dollar bill, and they're so well-versed in it. They know every single detail of the dollar bill that when they see a fake, it's so easy to detect. That's the principle of what John is teaching here, that those who are filled with the word of God, they're so versed in the scripture, they know their Bibles, that when they see and hear a false teacher, they spit it out because it's fake. They know it does not measure up with the Bible. And John says, test them. Test all teachers. And I'm telling you right now, and this is with humility that I say this, test me. Test me. I mean that in a way that if I speak in such a way that it's in contrast and contradiction to this word, you come tell me. I promise you I'll bow down to it because it's my authority. Put me to the test. And the scariest thing about false teachers is they never say that. No false teacher will ever stand up and say, put me to the test. Why? Because they're scared to death. They'll be exposed like a cockroach running out in the light. They'll judge people and say, I'm gonna call down the wrath of God on you if you don't stop calling me a false teacher. They're scared to death. But the true teacher of God is not afraid to be put to the test. How do you know? You measure it to the Bible. In the Reformation in the 15th century, the teaching of the church often got astray from the Bible. They begin to teach extra biblical things. And one of the things that Martin Luther fought for in the Reformation of the church was sola scriptura, which simply means, hey, let's go back to the Bible being the sole authority that all teachings would be measured against. That is what John says. If we want to know who's a false teacher, we don't go to Google. We don't feel who we think is a false teacher or not. You go to the Bible and you see what the Bible says. If they match up with a false teacher, they are a false teacher and they are not from God. If their word matches this, then they are a true teacher and from God, and you should listen to them. You need to study theology. You need to know the basics of what you believe. You need to understand that the Bible says that Jesus was fully God and fully man. And if anyone else says differently, then they are a liar. Bible says that he was born of a virgin, murdered on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And he is the only way. If anyone says anything differently, they are a liar. Bible says that life is precious and begins the moment of conception. And if anyone teaches anything different, that teaching is a lie. Bible says that Jesus is the point of the Bible, not us. So if you hear a preacher and the steady diet of his sermon is about you, you should have a healthy skepticism and run far from that person. The way to tell the counterfeit is by studying the real thing. All right? Now, let me give you application really quickly. That's why we get to these cards here. My point is if you do not know Scripture, you will fall prey to false teaching. You are a Pinterest quote away from being swept. Oh, sounds good. But if you know the Word, you don't get swept away. Study the Bible, the Word of God. Don't just get up to read words on a page. Get up to listen to God speak to you. He wants to guard you. He wants to help you and insulate you from false teaching. You need to get up. Read your Bibles. If you are like, hey, I don't really know my Bible. I'm not a good reader. I don't really know the whole thing. I've read some parts of that. Listen, let's just be real. Admit that first, because you can't really get past that if you won't be willing to admit that. Admit that, and then check a box on your card today and say, I need help. Can someone help me read my Bible together? Where do I start? What do I do? There's Bible reading plans on the app. There are faithful brothers and sisters in this church that will sit down with you, and they will tell you how to read your Bible. That's what we're going to do here, all right? And you just have to step into things like Bible studies, groups, men, your own getting up in the morning, getting into the Word of God, not in place or instead of a devotion. Sometimes we read devotions because it's the quick trip. Devotions are great, but we need a steady diet of God's Word. We need to read our Bibles as one story, not a resource book. It's not a topical book with indexes here. It says, where do I go for this? That's not the way the Bible's read. It's one story read to cover to cover. Have you read the Bible cover to cover? That's my encouragement to you. Step in, start reading, because you will guard yourself from these false teachers. Let me end with this, okay? Let me recap what we've said to you. Believer in Christ, number one, you need to have a category. I hope today you walk out with, okay, I have to have a category. I have to acknowledge that there's a category of false teaching. Somebody's going to go in there, can't not have it, right? And the second thing is putting them to the test. Put that teacher through to the test. Whoever you watch a sermon on, a podcast, a book that you pick up at Lifeway or ChristianBooks.com or whatever, put them to the test before you read. Do not be gullible, right? The third thing is be filled with the Spirit of God. When you listen to them, listen to the Spirit. Is this feeding your flesh or is this feeding your soul? And the last thing is be filled with the Word of God. Now, let me speak to someone today. If you're here and you would maybe say yourself, you have kind of clothed yourself in church, deeds, being a good person, in an attempt to get to God. Like someone in your life, there's a great chance by the time of what you're here, whatever, however old you are, there's a great chance that someone's lied to you. Because there's a lot more false teachers out there than there are good teachers, if we're honest. Someone might have lied to you. And they might have told you that the way to God is by being a good person. Someone might have told you that if you do more good than bad, you can get to heaven. Someone might have even lied to you and told you that all you have to do is just believe in a God and you can be right with God. Someone might have told you that you're beautiful, you're perfect. God made you that way and you're just awesome. And you should add Jesus to your life because then it'll be better. If that's what you heard, someone lied to you. My hope is this. You would see that you've been lied to and you would only want to know the truth. Jesus is truth. And the truth is, according to the Bible, is that you're not perfect. That you're not beautiful in the sight of God. In fact, you have an evil, wicked heart. In sin did your mother conceive you. From the womb, you are a rebel against the holy God. And there's nothing that you can do to find favor in the sight and the presence of God. But for those who are willing to admit that, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Believe in me, my perfect life. Believe in me and my perfect death. Believe in me and my perfect resurrection. Pick up your cross and follow me. I'm taking you to God. That is the person who understands and loves truth. Have you ever believed that? I hope there's an opportunity today for you to exchange the lie for the truth. You want to know the truth of Christ today? Please stick around, talk to us. Check a box on your card. I'll be out the door to left on the way out. I would love to talk to you and speak to you about Christ. Pray for you this week too. All right? Let me pray and then we'll sing our way out of here. Lord Jesus, we hear your words today because we listen to you. We know that it's good and wise to listen to you, the one true teacher. We don't do that because of our own will. We do that because the Holy Spirit is inside of us that you gave by your grace and your mercy. God, increase our knowledge of your word and your truths so we can detect and deflect all of the lies that are around us. God, thank you for securing us. For we know that your own will never, ever be swept away from false teaching. It'll never take us away and will never snatch us out of your loving, loving hands. Thank you for providing security for the believer. We love you. We ask all these things in Christ's name.